to go, and little, is this Hannah or Kaylee? Hannah. Hannah looked at me and said, "Who are you?" And I didn't recognize it right at the time there, Hannah. I didn't realize who you were. And I said, "Well, I'm preaching today." And she got this quizzical look on her face, kind of like saying, "I thought my dad was the preacher here." Well, this is the end of the interim. Interim means in between or meanwhile. Waiting between one pastor and the next, and we've come to the end of that interim. And it has really been a great time. We have enjoyed it so much. We had a great time up at camp this week, and with a couple of our daughters, their families, and all. We got home. We were glad while we were up there. We had left our keys with the neighbor across the wall from us in our twin home, and they let us know right away on Sunday morning that our house was dry. Unlike the Hartogs, all the water in the community went to their house and filled their basement. But ours was nice and dry. I mean, we have such a great neighbor. We came home and I thought, I got to get the lawn mowed. And so I pulled out the lawnmower. I had a little trouble before. I put a little sea foam in it and stuff. It started last time. It worked fine. And could not get the lawnmower started. I was outside and talking with my neighbor, and so we were going to leave yesterday morning to go to a school reunion over at Guthrie Center. And he said to me, my neighbor said, "Why don't you leave your lawnmower out? Let me see if I can tinker around with it, see if I can get it going." We got home last night. He not only got it going, he mowed our yard. Now that's neighbors, huh? They just are great neighbors. Turn to your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We selected 1 Timothy to kind of go through back a few months ago, right after Pastor Shank said yes, along with his wife, that they would move here and their children. And take up ministry here, sensing the call of God. And my desire was to be able to hit some spots through here that would be a preparation of Slater Baptist Church for the ministry of Pastor Shank and his family with us. We've come to the last, now we didn't go through everything by a long shot, but we've come to the last few verses of chapter 6, the conclusion of this first letter. And we will find that in verses 17 through 19, it's a challenge to Slater Baptist Church as a whole. And then the last couple of verses, a challenge to your new pastor as well, as you listen in on that. This letter is really interesting because it's full of commands and corrections and challenges. You see it all over the place. Paul's instruction to Timothy, young Timothy, was to take this information and command and teach and exhort and instruct and charge the congregation. He uses those words 15 times throughout this book. So he's feeling very passionate about what he's saying to Timothy, that pass it on in his ministry to that church there at Ephesus. It's time to close the letter. We're going to be talking about the treasure. The first thing we're going to talk about is teaching about treasure as it relates to all of us. And then we're going to talk about treasure, the teaching, as it relates specifically to the pastor. The first one, and we're moving pretty quick on this. We don't plan to take a lot of time, but I hope it's very pointed and you can accept this and apply it, and it'll make a difference in your lives, as the Word of God is always supposed to do. The first one is teaching about treasure. The rich that is mentioned here, in verse 17 it says, "Command those who are rich in this present age," is not talking about the same as earlier in the chapter. Earlier in the chapter it's talking about people who who love riches, who pursue riches, and that's what life is all about, and we're warned about that. We're not to be like that, because the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And we don't want that to be the case in our lives. But these are people who are saved people that he's talking about here in verse 17 through 19. Saved people who are rich legitimately. It's okay to be rich. We need to be sure that we don't somehow have some kind of attitude about rich people, that they're all crooked, you know, wicked people who got their riches by wrong means and all that sort of thing. Not the case. So Paul again tells Timothy to command. Again, this is not a suggestion, as Scott said in Sunday school many times today, that we're not talking about suggestions here. We're talking about a command from a superior authority to inferior authority. Being rich, remember when we talked about this a few weeks ago? In comparison to the world, most everyone in this room would be considered rich. We are a wealthy people. I know we may struggle at the end of the month to pay the bills and some of those things, but most of the time, that's a matter of priorities that we've built into our lives. We are rich people. Monetarily, we're rich in a lot of other ways too. We're rich in talents and time. We have lots of time on our hands that we could use for God's glory if we use it properly. So riches can be a lot of different things here. It's basically talking about monetary here. But ultimately, Paul is talking to us, okay? A couple of warnings in this text. One is, command those who are rich in the present age not to be haughty, not to think too highly of yourself, to be puffed up, to be conceited, deluded in our thinking that I am rich, I am so well blessed because I am extra special more than you. Don't be haughty. Don't be haughty. Scripture says that the wicked are often prosperous and the righteous suffer. Remember the Psalms? When David said, you know, man, I don't get it. Why do the righteous suffer and the wicked prosper? This doesn't seem right. And he struggles all the way through that psalm, and he finally resolves that by saying, then I remembered their end. And when you realize that unsaved people that are rich may have a lot in this life, but just think what's going to happen someday if they don't trust Christ as Savior. So being rich or having plenty is not necessarily because I am more pleasing than somebody else to God. So be careful not to be haughty in your wealth. A second thing that he warns about, it says that the rich are not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches. God does not give us riches to give us security. That's not what security is all about. The people who handle finances and tell you how to invest your money and all that sort of thing, trying to build into your life security. Folks, that's not where it is. People can be very wealthy one day and very poor the next day. None of us probably were around, well, some maybe, but were around clear back in the stock market crash, clear back in the, what was it, 1929 or sometime place in there. There might be a couple, three of you that were there around at that particular time, but most of us were not. But people committed suicide because suddenly their security was gone, because they had their security in riches. That could happen again. It could happen tomorrow. We don't know. I'm not being a doomsayer here. I'm just saying it could happen. Our security dare not be in our wealth, as affluent as our country is and as many of us are. But look what it does say. Not to trust in riches, uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Our riches are not to give us security, but God does give them to us so we can enjoy them. Nothing wrong with enjoying prosperity. But what Paul is really trying to say here and saying in these next couple verses is that we need to take it a step farther. As God has blessed us, it's not just for us to enjoy, but to employ in his service. And so we're to take our riches, our talents, our time, and we are to pour it out on things that really matter. And it goes on to say something about that. In verse 18, follow me in verse 18. Let them, the rich, those of us that are affluent, let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. We have a responsibility for all that we have been given. Responsibility to do what is excellent, what is good. We're to abound in good works for others. We're to overflow. If there's ever been a time in the history of Slater Baptist Church for that to be true of this group right here, it's right now. To really begin to, and you have been, overflow in good works for others and in this community. Be generous in your giving, ready to share. Share in the concerns of others. And then in verse 19, it talks about the realities that we need to contemplate. We store up for ourselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Real treasure is to be stored up in heaven. Rich men are told to store up treasures in heaven by dispensing treasures now. Employ your riches. Don't just enjoy your riches. We said this some time ago. As God raises your income and the money that you have and at your disposal, it doesn't mean that we should raise our lifestyle necessarily. It's that we ought to raise our generosity and serve others with what God has given to us. Reality has to do with what is eternal. I like what the NASB says on that phrase about life eternal. He says, that you may take hold of that which is life indeed. That which is eternal is what really is life indeed. And we're supposed to use what God has given us for his glory. So I encourage you as a people to use your talents, use your resources, use your time. We know that God is the one who's going to do the blessing, but God uses people like us. And so may God use you in a wonderful way in the days to come as you serve alongside your pastor. Well, then it comes to verse 20. And I like this phrase, and it shows the passion of Paul. He says, oh, Timothy. Now, I know that exclamation mark wasn't in the original language, probably, but you sense it there. Oh, Timothy, man, I've been telling you all of these things. I hope you are listening. Is the idea. There's passion that he is demonstrating here. And he says, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Timothy, you have a big responsibility. Nothing is more important than being true to the Word of God. And I can say that to Pastor Jeriah, and I know he has that conviction. Paul is saying that to Timothy. The Word of God has been compromised, contradicted and all kinds of things at Ephesus. And Timothy, you get in there with the Bible, God's word, and preach it. Nothing is more important. It reveals God to man. And it reveals man's condition. It reveals God's solution of how we can be reconciled back to God. It reveals to us a hope for the future and for eternity. The Word of God is so very important. There's risks that there are those who turn away and they do all kinds of other things by way of teaching. And he's saying, stick with the book as your authority. You have a preacher who is very bright and loves the books. But I just encourage you, love the book. Everything that you study in the books need to just fortify the authority that you have with God's word. Preach the word, study the word, live by the word. Because there are those who have followed otherwise, and it says they have strayed concerning the faith. Back in chapter 1, it talked about a couple of people who had become shipwrecked because of it. There's a temptation today to water down message and to make the message more attractive to build a bigger crowd. And we see churches all over America that are super mega churches that are amazing, the crowds they get, but the preaching is so weak. Don't want that to be true of Slater Baptist Church. Want it to be a strong church built upon the Word of God. And I encourage you, Pastor Shank, to listen to the encouragement of Paul to Timothy. Guard what is the treasure. The Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's not about me. It's not about him. It's not about you. Really, ultimately, it's about him. And it's about the gospel. We are just clay vessels. Someone says we're crack pots. Well, that's pretty close, isn't it? We're just crack pots. And God, in his wonderful grace, has chosen to use us to dispense the treasure of the gospel. It's all about the gospel. It's all about God's word. God help you as a church to always emphasize that. Paul concludes the message with, grace be with you. Grace, grace. The more we understand that we are undeserving of God's favor, and yet because he loved us, he gave us eternal life. What an amazing, that's grace. He says, grace be unto you. At the very center of the message that this church proclaims is grace. Well, may God help you. This church, as a church, the concern must not primarily be, as this book of 1 Timothy said, must not be, does it work, but is it right? Back in chapter 3, it talks about the church being the ground and pillar and ground of the truth. May that be true of Slater Baptist Church. Father, thank you for these closing words, a reminder to the church body to use their resources and overflow with those resources in ministry, presenting your gospel, living your gospel in this world as ambassadors for Christ. And then, Lord, thank you so much for Pastor Shank and Shauna and the girls. What a great day this is here at Slater Baptist Church. Lord, I pray that you will just help him as he prepares and as he presents, that it might be all about Jesus Christ and the wonderful message of the gospel. And I pray that lives will be saved, souls will be saved, lives will be transformed for the glory of God. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.